Mira Business FM.
This is Mira Business FM. This is The Morning Drive. My name is Tim Elliott. Welcome to an hour of legal discussion on the programme now. Civil and Muslim marriages, prenuptial agreements, civil and Muslim divorce. It's just divorce in any other language. Child custody, asset division, mediation. So from the moment where it's all great to the moment when it's maybe not so great, it does happen, unfortunately. Family law in the UAE, basically. Ludmila Yamalova is back, a very young friend of mine back in the studio. See what I did there, Ludmila? She's the leading light behind LY Law, boutique law firm here in Dubai, and also the TikTok lawyer too. Nice to see you.
Great to see you too, and you did earn a few brownie points just now.
I thought. I actually made some notes, and I was like, old friend of mine, and I thought, no, cross, don't put that one in there. You know, yeah, it's both of us. So how have you been? You've been away for a while, I think. You've been doing
not for
other
a while,
things like working.
Imagine. I still have to do that. The impression many have that, yeah, at this point in time, I should have already paid my dues and kind of relaxed a little bit and had more time, but I think the longer I go, the more I work.
Just when you thought you're out, they pull you back in. It's that kind of Michael Corleone thing, isn't it? I've just alluded to you as a mafia boss, which isn't the right way to put you across.
Yeah, we'll have a separate talk after the show about that.
Proceedings will begin
me and my
midday
people.
I know. Well, I have an offer you can't refuse because you're here to talk about all sorts of stuff to do with marriage, and we'll get to that in a moment, because it's enshrined all under the personal status law, so we're going to come to that. However, congratulations first of all, because you have recently become a licensed mediator accredited by ADR Center. This is a global thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that, by the way, is thank you for the acknowledgement and the recognition, and this is in the context of the Dubai government in particular, sort of initiative to perhaps enhance the mediation framework
right.
in the UAE and to bolster the role of mediation in general at all levels. In fact, there's a mediation center that is being put in place, and at all levels, the Dubai government is training mediators and trying to create a local supply of mediators. And it's all in the context of as an alternative to a formal dispute resolution. I mean, mediation is, after all, an alternative dispute forum. Mm. So that's what ADR stands for, alternative dispute resolution. And so mediation is basically, hey, listen, let's, given our differences, let's kind of try to put them aside. Let's sit together and figure out if there's a common ground for us to reach instead of going to court and with all our guns blazing and spending money and time left, right, and center, let's figure out a way to amicably resolve this dispute. And so that's kind of in the wake of this. The UAE in general, but certainly the Dubai government in particular, is making a concerted effort to bolster mediation and obviously create its own local supply. So that, we'll be hearing about mediation and seeing a lot more mediation in the news.
It's going to become much more of a thing, isn't it? What led you down to do this? Because, you know, without wanting to blow smoke, my impression, and we've known each other for some time, is this is something you would be really good at, because this is something you're very good at. But I guess lots of, you know, attorneys at law, you know, are maybe, you know, more combative and maybe not as naturally, it's not a natural thing to them. But for you, it strikes me this would be something you would want to do.
Well, I thank you for saying that. In fact, I'd like to kind of say yes. I sort of also believe that I was more of a, have a more mediator mindset. Mm. Although I do, you know, I'm a lawyer, so when clients come to me, I tend to represent my client's side of the story. However, in my style, that's I try to, wherever it's possible, to try to bring parties together instead of taking on the combative attitude. And so I thought before I took the training that, hey, you know, I basically mediate disputes all the time, because when clients come to me, first thing I do is I try to figure out if there's a way to resolve amicably, obviously within reason, sort of relatively speaking, whether there is an amicable way to resolve a dispute instead of going to court. So in my mind, I thought I've been acting as a mediator more or less during my practice. But when I took the mediation course, I, you know, to my own surprise, I learned so much about, whether it's truly is like a separate trade, it's a separate profession to be a mediator. So despite what I thought about my own skills and talents and experience, this was a very informative course and training, and I learned a lot, and I realized how much more there is to learn. And since then, since I took the course, I've absolutely have been putting it into practice, to my own surprise, thinking, oh my God, I learned that in my mediation training.
So it helps day to day as well.
Yeah. Wow. So it's really quite fascinating. And this comes into play because, I mean, I guess talking about today's topic, we deal with a lot of divorces. And so divorces by very nature are very acrimonious, very contentious, very emotional, and very sort of heavy duty, psychologically kind of intense matters. And so clients come to you and they're very upset, and they want to, obviously there's every client is different. Although in divorces, I think they all have common traits. But the one thing that seems to unite them all is that they want to, they want revenge, they want to fight. At any cost, they think at that point in time. And so, my preference and my style, my approach has been kind of throughout, but certainly since I became a licensed mediator. Well, is there a way for us to mediate this? I mean, can I, although I'm your lawyer, but could I try to potentially act a little bit of a sort of tainted mediator and reach out to the other side and see if we can have a dialogue? Because by the time clients come to me, there's very little dialogue that can happen directly between them. And it's almost like they can say nothing right to when they speak to each other. There's just, highly, highly contentious. So it's almost like they need a buffer. They need someone to be their filter. And in most cases, that's all they need. You just need some filter that can take the temperature down. So I've noticed how since my training, I've been able to put into use that very training that I went through my ADR training or certification, and it's been pretty amazing. I have to tell you, it's not easy to try to convince a client who wants revenge, who wants everything or give nothing, to walk them off the edge a little bit and say, listen, do you mind? Let me try, see if I can talk to the other side and figure out a way to bring you a little closer together instead of going to court and airing out all your dirty laundry from both sides and then losing sleepless nights for the next however many months. It's been fairly effective, I have to say.
It's going to be a very useful skill. I mean, Dubai's growing, and if a population grows, that means divorce grows. So there's more need for it. It's very simple, isn't it, ultimately?
It is simple, and Dubai also is a very, in a way, unique place in that way, because so many of us are expats, and by virtue of our demographic here is a lot of marriages are very much mixed marriages, or complex marriages. They could be different nationalities, different religions. There's a lot of marriages that have, that had previous marriages before. And so it makes it a lot more complex whenever their personal matters come up. It is that much more complex. And plus there's a lot of people with a lot of money. And so it starts from, somebody who's marrying someone, even if it's from their own home country, someone, there's a disparity of wealth between them. They want to protect and ring fence their wealth. Now we are getting married. How do we get married? We want to get a Muslim marriage. We want civil marriage. Now we're not getting along so well. So what happens? How do we separate? And there is a separation about money, and then there's separation about children. So it's so complex. So I think divorce, and there's, for the most part, that's kind of our pool of clients, right? It's never just sort of their simple kind of expected marital relationship that you would expect, let's say, in your home country. There's a lot of complexities, a lot of different nationalities, different passports, different, kids from different marriages, different religions. I think because of that, it's just that much more important to have a buffer, to have a filter to help people just see perspective.
No, I can see that. I mean, we've talked about this a lot in different podcasts that we've done, or just sitting down over a cup of coffee and talked about it, because it is so complex. And I guess from your point of view, there's an unfortunate side to this that's just occurred to me, actually, if you think about it. If you handle a marriage, a civil marriage for people, and then you handle the divorce and then the child custody and the asset division, it's repeat business. I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, that's my goal. That's my recipe for success.
That's what it's for. But it is, nonetheless, it's a very complex thing. So what I wanted to do today, Ludmilla, is to try to break this down into reasonably palatable chunks, and you're the person to do it, unfortunately. So this is your, should you choose to accept the mission, here we go. We need to start with the personal status war. There was a landmark update very recently, I know, which I think came into effect earlier this year. So this is the law that handles all family matters, isn't it, really? So marriages, divorces, inheritance, alimony, all that kind of stuff. Is that correct?
Yes and no. So let me kind of break it down. So what we're talking about, let's first start with the term personal status matters. I mean, what is that term?
Yeah.
Basically anything related to family. And what does that encompass? It encompasses everything from the time you want to marry, where to marry, under which law to marry, in which court to marry, how to marry, to perhaps prenuptial agreement before you get married, to an agreement between the parties to have some sort of roadmap for the future in the event things don't work out, what are the terms of the marriage, by the way, and that's what the prenuptial agreements are for. A lot of people don't even think about it. Most people think of prenuptial agreement only in the event something happens, right, so a separation or, I mean, in most cases, separation and divorce, but also in especially in the UAE, actually, you'd be surprised, but for Muslims, prenuptial agreements are actually quite common. And it's because, especially in Islam, it's very common to set up the said terms for the marriage, because, you know, as part of the marriage, especially there are parties have obligations to each other. So this is why prenuptial agreements are quite common in the Muslim world, is just to set out obligations, especially from the husband usually, and what his obligations are to the wife.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, you know, I know the term prenuptial arrangement from, you know, movies and TV shows, and a prenup to me is very much, well, when I divorce him, that's what I'm going to get, or, you know, but it's really not that, is it?
Exactly. We can once we delve into it a little more, I'll give you specific examples of how important it is to at least think through those issues before you jump into marriage. And it doesn't have to be contentious. It actually does not have to be about separation of assets necessarily and what happens upon divorce, but it's more about how do we raise our children, especially when you have people coming from different countries, different religions, different nationalities, cultures, your languages, right? So how do we raise our children? Are they going to be Catholic? Are they going to be Muslim? Are they going to be Buddhist? Which language do you want them? So these kinds of matters, you know, who are they going to be closer to, the parents, the grandparents from the father's side, or the grandparents from the mother's side? Some people don't want their children to spend much time with their parents. They prefer to have their children spend more time with their wives or their partners. Family. I mean, you know, these are very real examples that I'm giving you. So there's a lot of nuances apart from just what happens when we fall out of love for one another. So going back to just the personal status. So it basically encompasses that from marriage to the agreement to the terms of marriage to what happens in the event of divorce or separation with regards to financial assets, commercial interests, as well as children, and most importantly, and that's usually most contentious issues, children, to, sadly, you know, what happens after death, because that's also a kind of a personal status matter. And that part of that is wills. So that's what we mean by personal status matters.
Right.
Now, in the UAE, you have the way to think about it is there are two different categories. You've got personal status matters that apply to Muslims and those that apply to non-Muslims. So going back to your original question, whether the recent law, and you're absolutely right, that is a very new law. It's law number, federal law number 41 of 2024, and it did come into effect of April 2025. So it's very recent. It's just a few months.
Yeah.
So that law, generally speaking, would be considered the overarching personal status law, except that by default it applies mainly to Muslims and it's based on principles of Sharia but it has obviously some options to opt out of there. So, but that by default applies to Muslims, but there's also the UAE also has a personal status law for non-Muslims, and this law was introduced in 2022, and that's law number 41, also federal law. So that law specifically applies to non-Muslims, which, by the way, was a revolutionary law when it was issued, because there wasn't a law like that before. So now we've got these personal status law for kind of all of the UAE, but specifically for Muslims, and then one for non-Muslims. And then separately, there's a third source of law, and that's Abu Dhabi. The Abu Dhabi has also a law that was issued in 2021 as law number 14, as well for non-Muslim UAE residents and nationals, because there's now more UAE nationals who are also non-Muslims. So these are the three sources of law. And in terms of timing, the Abu Dhabi law was introduced in 2021, and it was quite groundbreaking at the time because it was the first civil personal status law dedicated to civil matters in the UAE, in all of the UAE. And we've covered, you and I have covered this topic before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On the podcast, what was specifically sort of, I guess, highlighted the importance of that law is, although it was Abu Dhabi law, it was not limited to only Abu Dhabi residents. So it did apply to anybody who wanted to opt into the civil personal status law.
Yep.
And so it was groundbreaking, and a lot of marriages took place, and you didn't even have to be, or you still don't have to be a resident of the UAE to even opt to get married under the Abu Dhabi personal status law for non-Muslims. And it really kind of set the ground for civil personal status matters. Then the UAE follows suit shortly thereafter, and then at the federal level. So remember, this is just Emirates specific. And then in 2022, a year later, the UAE led the way by introducing its own personal status law for non-Muslims, and that's the law number 41 of 2022. So now, and that law is in many ways based on the Abu Dhabi law, but not quite. And the Abu Dhabi law is still a little more progressive in the sense because it's just, you know, I guess it's a little older.
Yeah.
And so now we've got two sources of personal status law for non-Muslims, and then the UAE the personal law at a Muslim level, or the personal status law kind of the federal level that applies for Muslims in particular. The same law, it was in existence from 2005.
Yes.
So that was the UAE personal status law. So
yeah.
Only this year that law, which again, you know, from 2005. Was repealed altogether, and the new personal status law came into effect. So now, high level, we've got the UAE personal status law that's effective, the new one that's also law number 41 that's effective as of April. And then we've got two sources of civil, I call civil marriages personal status law. And all of them not just amend the previous laws, but repeal the previous laws altogether. And introduce a brand new framework, legal framework, for parties to consider and ultimately rely on in their personal status matters. And so at a kind of a high level, what all of these laws, irrespective of whether it's for personal status law or for civil marriages, they cover everything from marriage to prenuptial agreements to divorces to custody, guardianship, asset division, inheritance, I think basically so the whole gamut. So now, depending on which law you want to choose, you have a choice. So even as a non-Muslim, you can also opt into the application of the UAE personal status law. That's the one that perhaps we'll talk about most today. So as a non-Muslim resident, you have a choice of at least three different laws.
Yeah.
No, actually
yeah.
Four different laws, because the UAE personal status law, the new one we're talking about, also offers to residents or to expats a choice of either they can opt into the UAE personal status law, or they can choose the UAE personal status law for non-Muslims,
mm-hmm.
or they can choose the law of their own country. So it's, you know, there's quite a bit of choice and variety, which in, you know, is a huge step forward from how things used to be until what this new legal framework that I've just sort of set out existed. We basically had just one law, and the one law, which by default, for the most part, there were some exceptions, but by default applied, same law applied to everybody,
yes.
Muslims, non-Muslims, residents, nationals, and there was very little choice, although there was an option in the law to bring in the law from your own country, but it was so complex in most cases, people just sort of walked away from that option and defaulted to ultimately application of the EU personal status law, which is based on principles of Sharia. And this is important to highlight.
Well, that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a Muslim law, right? Because these are people, it's Islamic law. It's not Islamic law. The UAE is a civil law jurisdiction.
Yes.
And so the laws are maybe based on certain principles. So the personal status law is based on Islamic principles, but it's not an Islamic law. So this is important because it's a codified law. So some of this, when we talk about personal status law, it's not Sharia law. It's just that certain concepts in the law are based on Sharia principles. Until recently, non-Muslims, I mean, everybody was subject to these principles with very little effective choice of something else, which meant that especially in divorces, you know, this whole concept of custody, guardianship, division, you know, who the father has kind of the guardianship role over the children. And for a lot of non-Muslims, this was a novel concept and perhaps you know, kind of a foreign concept. So now the law has a lot more choice and there's a lot more options and it's a lot more clear.
Okay, so we're going to talk about civil marriages. We're going to talk about whether you're non-Muslim or Muslim. We're going to be talking about custody. We're going to be talking about mediation. We're going to be talking about divorce as well. In the next half hour, we're talking very, very complex legal matters with Ludmila Yamalova from LY Law. The TikTok lawyer is with us at Mira Business FM.
Mira Business FM.